This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Biden says he's running the world and only a personal confrontation with the Lord Almighty would change his mind to get out of the race. At the same time, Klaus Schwab at the summer Davos World Economic Forum gathering said humanity must be forced into globalism. Did you hear those headlines today on Viewpoint? We're going to take a look at the most amazing admixture of presidential politics and power, together with the look at the pursuit of a new world government, and also the terrifying event of Mr. Biden leaving office and his family being exposed to unmeasurable legal battles. That's right, friends. It seems that very few people are willing to connect the dots as to what's really happening out there, but we're going to do that here today, make our best effort to do that, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and it's very sad to see an 81-year-old man tottering around as he does, but he says he's running the world. That's right, he says he's running the world. U.S. President Joe Biden says he's been running the world and therefore doesn't actually need any cognitive tests to prove his fitness for office. The president made the remarks in an interview with ABC News on Friday, pressed by George Stephanopoulos about the growing concerns surrounding his mental and physical condition. So Biden responded, "Look, I have a cognitive test every single day. Every day I have that test. Excuse me. Everything I do, you know, not only am I campaigning, but I'm running the world," he said. That's a quote. "But we are essentially an essential nation of the world," he asserted, "and I have to lead it. I have to lead it." And that's why he says in the same interview that only God or the Lord Almighty would change his mind. It came out in the Russian Times. Only God in person can convince Joe Biden he can't beat Donald Trump, said the U.S. president. He made the remarks on Friday in an interview with ABC News' George Stephanopoulos. During the ABC interview, Biden squarely announced he deemed himself the very best candidate the Democrats could field. Asked whether anything could convince him otherwise, Biden stated that only God might have enough authority to do so. Only God might have enough authority. On Friday, a group of 168 high-profile Democrat Party supporters, including major donors and academics, were reported to have sent a letter to Biden calling on him to drop out of the campaign. The signees argued the move must be taken, quote, "for the sake of our democracy and the future of our nation," unquote. Well, that's not enough, because Biden must hear directly. He must be confronted directly with the Lord Almighty, he said, because he's running the world. And ain't nobody going to come between him and running the world. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, friends, it means a whole lot more than what you might think and what the average person might think just encountering those words. They might think, well, that's just pure arrogance. That's pure this or pure that, or that's just the results of a older man who's lost of cognitive ability and is engaged in some sort of delusions of grandeur or whatever. No, friends, that's not it. That's not it. It's a much bigger picture than that, and it leads us back to the inauguration of Joe Biden, when just before that inauguration, his former czar, not economic, but environmental czar, John Kerry, also a former presidential candidate for the Democrat Party, and also a very, very strong supporter of the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab and the New Global Order, said that Joe Biden's inauguration set the stage more than anything else for the advance and completion of the Great Reset, which is a euphemistic statement, a euphemistic phrase for a new global or world order. That Joe Biden and his inauguration was the event to signal the transfer of the United States and the world, the catapulting of the world into the new world order to be completed by 2030. So, if you believe, if you can somehow entertain the understanding that Joe Biden actually believes that, that he really does believe that he has been, well, not necessarily called by God, but called by the powers that be and his globalistic expectations that he's the one. He's the one. And therefore, he cannot possibly renege on his calling to be the one to lead the world and the Western world into the new world order. He's the one. Now, that's one major drawing card for his staying in office. It seems that no amount of persuasion is sufficient to change his mind. For instance, this article comes out today. Biden refuses to believe poll numbers. The incumbent says there is nobody more qualified to lead the U.S. regardless of public opinion. U.S. President Joe Biden said he does not accept polling data showing a slump in support. He insisted that there's nobody more qualified to be president or win this race than me, and he said he would not drop out even if top Democrat leaders asked him to, claiming that only the Lord Almighty could convince him to step aside. And I'm not convinced that that's true either, because he is not submitted to the Lord Almighty, as evidenced by his continual rejection of what the Lord Almighty says about life, about life before birth, about so many different aspects that God calls perversions, and Joe Biden doesn't listen. The oldest president in history appeared so frail and confused throughout the encounter last week that a survey conducted by CBS News shortly afterwards found that 72% of registered voters do not believe Mr. Biden has the mental and cognitive health necessary to serve as president. Well, yes, and that appears obvious. It appears obvious to everyone except Joe Biden and Jill Biden and Hunter Biden. And maybe that's the reason why the latest report is that Hunter Biden now is sitting in at White House meetings with his father. He started doing that in West Wing meetings with his dad. Hasn't even apparently passed any kind of security check or background check. So what sort of policy decisions are made with him present? And why would he insist on being there? We'll be back. This is Viewpoint.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Apparently, it does not matter that Biden's handlers are guiding him with flashcards, needed detail, illustrated instructions to enter and exit rooms. His every movement is planned by his assistants, with photos showing the elderly leader exactly how to get in to the podium and at events. And then has to have the teleprompter Because without the teleprompter, there's nothing to prompt him, as evidenced in the debate. So why is he continuing to press on? That's the question. People are not willing to talk about that. They're just not willing. Maybe they just don't understand. But there's only two reasons, only two real ways to understand, and I think they merge together. Why Mr. Biden is persisting, notwithstanding what would seem to be incredible pressure, why is he insisting on staying the course, no matter how obvious it is that he's not capable? He thinks he can stay in there and stand the test of time because he's the anointed one to lead the New World Order, to lead America and the Western world. He says he's already running the world. Those are his words. I'm running the world. So he's running the world into the New World Order. That's his view. In order to understand the amazing competition now between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, you cannot explain it without understanding the tension and pressure over the New World Order, globalism. You can't understand it without that. But nobody wants to talk about it. I don't know whether it's because they don't want to talk about it, they don't understand it, or they feel it's too scary, too dangerous, whatever. Or there are too many people on the Republican side that are globalists and they don't want to mess with the issue. But that is the issue. The moment Donald J. Trump in 2015 came down the escalator at Trump Towers and declared, we're going to make America great again, war was declared. War was declared by globalists against a man who stood in the way of what they expected was the fulfillment of a centuries-long effort to rebuild the Tower of Babel in effect and declare a one-world order. That's the reason, friends, for all of the lawfare against Donald Trump, all of the effort to trump up situations, no matter what kind they are, no matter how slight or small the situation, no matter how discordant the activities were, the challenges were, that nobody else had to face for exactly the same or worse situations, that is the explanation. They must take him out, even to the effect of now calling for his assassination. That's true. So the only way to really fully understand this massive drama that's taking place in America and displayed around the world is the belief that Joe Biden has that he's the called one to lead us into the New World Order. Everything that he has done in his administration has been calculated to accomplish that, including the setting up and facilitating of an illegal invasion coming across the southern border and now also the northern border, all with the purpose of diluting not only the voting ability in this country to try to addict millions more people to vote for the Democrat Party, alleging this is the pursuit of democracy, when in fact it's exactly the opposite. It's the pursuit of a dictatorship under the name of democracy. Very deceptive. Very, very deceptive. So this is what's going on right now in front of our eyes. You may recall my sharing with you a number of times over the past several years the statement made by James Paul Wardberg on February 17th, 1950. He was speaking before the United States Senate, and he said, we will have world government whether or not we like it. He said, the only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. Well, you know, the world government has been the dream and dominion of people throughout the ages. even from the Tower of Babel there in Genesis chapter 11 to this trumpeting of the New World Order that began with a Republican president, George Herbert Walker Bush, right there in 1990 in front of the United States Congress, gathered, assembled together, declared the New World Order, and that the world was preparing itself. It was the birth pangs of the New World Order, words that had never been expressed by an American president. And yet over 200 times he used that phrase during his four-year administration. He set the stage, a Republican president who was a globalist. George Herbert Walker Bush was a consummate globalist, as was his father, and was his son, George W. Bush. We don't have time to go into all the details to support that, but we have them in the book, Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. The chapter called Globalism, the Anti-Gospel. If you don't have a copy of the book, you should get the book just for that chapter alone, although the book is absolutely loaded with so many other things that will open your eyes. It's a $22 book, yours for $20 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. So, why won't Joe Biden undergo an independent cognitive exam? He's repeatedly dodged and demurred about undergoing such a medical exam. He says he's tested in every way, every day, by the rigors of running the country. He says, I'm running the world. I have a neurological test every day, so I don't need that. In other words, don't bother me with that because I have a greater calling. My greater calling is I am scheduled to launch the New World Order and to prepare the way for doing it. And everything he's been doing during his administration has been calculated to accomplish that. The dilution of all, shall we say, allegiance to the country by young people, millennials, and Generation Z, taking away the love of country, taking and trying to diminish and dilute all positive views concerning our own country, saying, actually, that began with Barack Hussein Obama during his two-term reign. So Biden has just picked up the baton from Barack Obama, and now they're at a place where they believed the Democrat Party and many in the Republican Party, globalists, believed that the world and the United States was poised to enter into this new global order. Now, just to give you an idea, some of you have a considerable amount of reverence for George W. Bush, the son of George Herbert Walker Bush. Well, George W. Bush in 2007 had declared that the United States was going to merge within 7 years, would merge with the European Union for a basically setting up the new world order. That was his declaration. And Mr. Barroso of Spain and also Angela Merkel of Germany were in agreement with that. They entered into this private agreement, a secret agreement with George W. Bush to accomplish just that. It was George W. Bush also who tried to set up the North American Union to merge Canada, Mexico, and the United States. Even wanted to start a new currency called the Amero. That was George W. Bush. So this has been in movement for a long time. It's not just a matter of Democrats. It's a big, big movement. This is the reason why George Herbert Walker Bush voted for Hillary Clinton when Donald Trump came up for election in 2016. The former Republican president voted for Hillary Clinton. Why? Because Hillary Clinton is a consummate globalist, as is and was her husband, Bill Clinton, who got his training as a Rhodes Scholar to prepare him to be a globalist leader. I'm just distilling things as simply as I can for our understanding. Otherwise, the dynamics that are taking place are very difficult to comprehend. So then we have to ask the question, all right, let's suppose that there's more to it than this. Let's suppose that it's not just globalism, that there's another factor involved. Well, here's what I believe that other factor involved is. And this is now one of the reasons why Hunter Biden is sitting in at White House meetings with his father. The World Tribune has given us that insight. And during the last weekend's family confab at Camp David, Hunter Biden was the most vehement in insisting that the 81-year-old Joe stay in the presidential race. Hunter doesn't trust his father's old guard of aides, one source said. Hunter wants to be there, and POTUS, the president of the United States, isn't going to say no. But why isn't he going to say no? You see, we still have to keep answering or asking the why questions. It's not just the facts as we see them, it's why the facts exist the way they do. Hunter Biden, age 54, was convicted June 11th of 3 federal gun felonies and is scheduled for a second federal trial September 5th for $1.4 million in alleged tax fraud. Now, what do you think the outcome of that will be? Not pretty for Hunter Biden. Being a recovering addict is something that would usually cause most advisors to lose security clearances, if not their own jobs. But Team Biden in 2021 even fired 5 staffers who admitted they had used marijuana, but not Hunter Biden, you see. There's something about Hunter Biden. In fact, what it is about Hunter Biden is that he is his father's most trusted advisor. Now, why is he his father's most trusted advisor? First of all, Hunter Biden is a globalist like his father. Everything that he's done, all the nefarious financial and economic adventures that he's been in reveal he's a globalist. Whether it has to do with his efforts in Ukraine, in China, or wherever it is, he's a globalist. The whole Biden family is a globalist. Some say they're just Chinese. No, they're bigger than that. It's a globalist family. And that's how they make their millions. And if Hunter Biden goes under, the family goes under. Jill Biden goes under. The threat to the Biden family, if he loses the presidency, is massive because their exposure is beyond measure. Their legal exposure, their criminal exposure, their economic exposure. If Joe Biden is not in office to protect them from assaults, legal assaults, they're terrified. They're absolutely terrified. So the first lady and the first son are propping up the leader of the free world. While most of the Democrat Party was in panic mode and mulling replacements for Joe Biden after his disastrous performance in the debate, Jill Biden dragged her bewildered husband before a group of supporters to declare, "Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts." In an audio recording retrieved from Hunter's infamous laptop, he proclaimed, quote, "My dad respects me more than he respects anyone in the world, and I know that to be certain." Now, if that be true, after all the nefarious deeds and all of the situations, what is it that is binding them together to keep Joe on the throne? We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
In wrapping up the first aspect of the program today, looking at the facts, the drama concerning the current putative president of the United States, Joe Biden, and why his insistence on staying in, notwithstanding the obvious nature of his incapacity to do so, is, number one, his conviction that he's the one. He is the anointed one in order to prepare and lead the Western world and America into the new world order. Next, the exposure of his family to horrific consequences, legal consequences, because of their behavior over the years, it's pretty amazing. Very few people want to talk about it. They think it's disrespectful or whatever, but it's real. It's real. Now, Hunter Biden is facing perhaps as much as 18 months to 2 years imprisonment as a result of his first conviction a few weeks ago. But he has another one coming up. I believe it's in California, dealing with his tax avoidance. That is a far, far more serious situation, and it's pretty clear cut. So if there's no intervention on his behalf, presidentially, he's very likely looking at up to 10 years imprisonment. Now, this is Joe Biden's favorite son, the first son. This is the one that he trusts more than anybody else. So what is he willing to do to protect that from happening? And how about his other relatives that are also involved in the bigger scheme of things, the economic scheme of things that has been talked about so much? As the World Tribune asked this question, what kind of first lady and first son would sacrifice national security and the lives of hundreds of thousands in other nations in order to enjoy the absolute immunity and millions of dollars worth of luxuries derived from keeping an unfit elderly man in the most powerful job on earth? Interesting question, isn't it? You almost have to go outside this country to get that kind of insight. It's too frightening for people in this country. Everybody is afraid. Afraid of what will happen. Democrats are not the only ones that are afraid, friends. Fear is rampant. And perhaps rightly so. When Klaus Schwab, at the summer Davos, said humanity must be forced into collaboration with globalists, you're looking at something that is terrifying. This is the tyranny of the one world order. Klaus Schwab, the founder and visionary for this World Economic Forum, who has declared the Great Reset by 2030, is saying this must be forced aggressively on the world population. Now, Schwab is the architect of the so-called Great Reset. He said, at this critical juncture, the active participation of all stakeholders is essential to ensure a sustainable development path. Another topic pushed by Schwab at the new champions meeting was limits to growth, which is a euphemism term that many are interpreted as an endorsement of depopulation, which is exactly what Bill Gates has been calling for years, getting rid of two-thirds of the world's population. Did you hear that? That's the Bill Gates who founded Microsoft. That's the Bill Gates whose divorced wife now is using her billions to try to advance the cause of abortion on behalf of women throughout the world. They are not good people. From God's perspective, they're wicked or evil people. And they're also in support of the New World Order, a global government. So Schwab said that he envisages humankind transitioning into a new age where there will be a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological dimensions in a new world. Those are his words. He declared that this new era of integration with digital technologies will mean that you do not even have to have elections anymore. Everything will be pretty much decided for you. How sweet. How sweet. Sounds nice, maybe on the surface of things, but you'll have no choice. Not even choice, not only not a choice for election, but a choice for how to spend your money. A choice for how or what you're going to use for your medical treatment, or whether you'll get any at all. And that's what Bill Gates has in mind with his patent, the application of which he made in March of 2020 to merge the control, the digital control of money and healthcare all in one sweet little injection or whatever form that was going to take, so that a world government could make sure that you are abiding by their precepts. And if you get out of line and you don't pledge your allegiance through the mark of the beast, you will not be able to conduct business. You will not be able to get health care. You will not be able to brush your teeth. You will not be able to do anything. In fact, your children won't even be yours. They'll belong to the government, and you'll be there as the caretaker for them. I hope you're listening. This is not a game, my friends. This is a very big deal that is right on the cusp. The world's been yearning for this kind of utopia ever since Genesis chapter 11. God said, I'm not in favor of this. And so he interrupted the speech of the people there in building the Tower of Babel so that they could not communicate one to another. He dispersed them, and he ordered them to form their own separate governments, their own separate nations. The Lord established the boundaries of the nations. The Bible says so. But mankind hasn't been willing to yield to that. So the promise and hope of a utopian global order is ushering in some sort of a world peace is very alluring to the natural mind. But you see, there are others that are competing for that, like Russia and China, forming the BRICS nations. They want to do a similar kind of thing. And so the tensions are building. The sense of timing, of urgency, is now upon the world, and Joe Biden and his handlers know that the world is on the cusp of this final decision. The utopian global order. Now, the Bible says that ultimately the government of the world will be upon Jesus' shoulder. Of the increase of his government and peace, there should be no end. But that's not satisfactory. to men and women who have disaffected themselves from the God of creation, do not even believe in a creator, believe that they evolved out of whatever, primordial slime. But it was George Herbert Walker Bush who in 1990, as a president, said the crisis in the Persian Gulf, as grave as it is, offers a rare opportunity to move toward a historic period of cooperation. Out of these troubled times, he said, a new world order can emerge. He said the new world order is struggling to be born. In other words, it's in the gestation period. When is that gestation period completed? These leaders of the world believe it is now, that all of the expectations of humankind are now converging into the final throes of the emerging globalism being forged out of the multitude of prevalent isms in our world, like science isms, socialisms, political isms, and religious isms, ultimately bound together by materialism. Very fascinating to watch the threads of this emerging global tapestry, I think, being woven into a pattern through the unprecedented pursuit of unity. And unity continues to escape us. And that's why Klaus Schwab says it has to be forced upon the people. Has to be forced upon them. But that wasn't just Klaus Schwab who said that. Remember back in 1950, we quoted James Paul Warburg, who addressed the United States Senate, say, we shall have world government whether or not we like it. The only question is whether world government will be achieved by conquest or consent. Well, consent isn't working too well for many. In fact, when Donald Trump showed up, he expressed a radically contrary view of consent to the New World Order. He said, no. We're going to make America great again. We're about national sovereignty. We're about the nations being sovereign, not merging the nations into a one-world government. And so the leaders of the world, including the Democrat Party, which were almost all globalists, and many of the Republican Party that we've already talked about, said, not so fast, Donald Trump. We're going to make it impossible for you to do that. We're going to make it impossible for you to make America great again because we're trying to diminish the authority of America so that America can be ready to be merged into this new world government. Are you beginning to get the bigger picture, friends? And now with the election of a complete radical change of election in the UK, we find a hyper-liberal who is, what should we say, hand in glove with Klaus Schwab in the World Economic Forum to lead the UK and Britain into that as well.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. There's only one Savior of the world, but the world says otherwise. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and will one day rule as Prince of Peace. But the world says, no, we don't receive him. We just don't receive him. We're not going that way. We're going to be gods. So in the technological world, they're pursuing what is called the singularity. The singularity is another way of expressing we will be God. We will be as gods, using technology to merge economics, to merge health and healthcare and all of these other things and technology into one globalistic view where humankind exceed, go beyond their human state and become, in effect, gods. You can also read about that in my book, Antichrist. How do I identify the coming imposter? You can read about that also in my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages. Friends, these books have been written to prepare you, to help God's people understand the gravity of the moment, how it all connects so that we can be prepared. It's not about information. The information is there for a reason, that we might be transformed, renewed in our minds and hearts to prepare the way of the Lord in our lives for history's final hour. It's not about gendering fear. Fear is there. The people of the world are terrified. Just look at the world. It's upset, the governments of the world. Look around the world. It's amazing. There's hardly a place of peace anywhere. And now, as the commentator Joe Schaefer says for the World Tribune, the change of government in the UK is showing how Davos, that is the World Economic Forum, and the globalists are consolidating power now, yes, through Great Britain. But we're not through. Consider how last week Pope Francis excommunicated the ex-U.S. ambassador from the Vatican to the U.S. What's his name? Carlo Maria Vignano. U.S. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vignano was excommunicated from the Catholic Church by the Pope. Why was he excommunicated? They used the term schism. In other words, he came against the papacy. But why did he come against the papacy? He came against the papacy because the papacy was contrary to the Bible. And Archbishop Vignano said, no, this is not right. The Pope is seeking to normalize and put his blessing on things that God says he hates, that are perversions and so on. This is not right. It's contrary to the history of the Roman Catholic Church and the Bible. But the Pope is doing it anyway. But that's not all, friends. Archbishop Vignano pointed out over and over again how Pope Francis was actually doing his best to move the Catholic Church through the papacy into a controlling factor in the New World Order, globalism. That, my friends, was more than Francis could take. Now, people don't see it that way because they're not thinking that way. They're not willing to see what is really taking place. But that's what happened. And Archbishop Vignano said that he considered it an honor to have been excommunicated from the presence of the Pope, which essentially is what the excommunication was about. He's not excommunicated from a relationship with Christ. The Pope has no authority to do that. That would make the Pope God. But the Pope considers himself to be the vicar of Christ, in other words, Christ in the flesh, to be, in a sense, God. So when Vignano refused to recognize and submit to the supreme pontiff and the legitimacy and magisterial authority of the Second Vatican Council, that was a grave crime. Schism. Refusing to submit to the Pope. As the Pope is God in the flesh. And talked about the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum and the spirit of globalism that Pope Francis was leading the world into, and the two previous popes also called for. Three popes in a row calling for a new world order, a new world government. Really? All contrary to the scriptures. Why? Because they felt that the papacy then could become the spiritual head of the new world order. That's power, friends. But my reading of the book of Revelation chapter 17 says something very serious is going to upset that apple cart. And when the power brokers of the new global order achieve their goal with the help of the papacy, they will then take their own dominion over the papacy and destroy it. Read it in Revelation chapter 17. The city on seven hills. The great harlot. The mother of abominations. We're not talking about a game here. We're talking about reality. The merger of biblical prophecy and papal authority and the presidency of the United States, all tied in together. Then came the Russian Times with this article, "Are Traditional International Institutions Viable in the New World Order?" That's the heading. Like G7, NATO, and so on. Are they viable in the New World Order? They say, no. Well, not in the New World Order as perceived by Russia and China and the BRICS nations. They have their own idea. Turkey is doing a dance between NATO and the Western One World Order and Russia and China and the BRICS nations. It's fascinating what's happening, friends. It's all right in front of our eyes if we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. Just this week, the last few days, it's right here. Then there's an added aspect to this that I think deserves to be focused on. And that is, in France, there was also a major upset democratically. What happened in France? Well, it appeared that things were going to go very right-wing. But what actually happened is they went extremely left-wing globalist. The effect of that, friends, was the attitude that drove it, which was anti-Semitism. Articles have come out just today. Here's one. Avigdor Lieberman, leader there in Israel, has urged French Jews to move to Israel immediately following the left-wing rise in yesterday's elections. The left-wing New Popular Front Alliance won 182 seats, while the centrist ensemble backed by President Emmanuel Macron won 168 seats. Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the French far-left leader, has promised, quote, to recognize the state of Palestine, unquote. Lieberman's address to French Jews pointed out Melanchthon's History of Statements Against Jews in Israel, calling it pure anti-Semitism. It is the spirit of anti-Semitism in France that divided the nation so seriously and severely that it inaugurated a radically new liberal government. Now, friends, the French have always been somewhat liberal in their government, but this was dramatic. This was dramatic. And so it's not just Lieberman in Israel. It's others in Israel who say, you don't have any time to lose. French Jews, you got to get out of Israel. Excuse me, you got to get out of France quickly and into Israel because there's not going to be much time for you to make that move. Why? Because the movement of the world, the uniting of the world in this globalist effort is going to be seriously anti-Semitic. And as it moves in its anti-Semitism, it then will manifest itself to be profoundly anti-Christian, which it is. Now perhaps you can understand why. My latest book that is now at press, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Our Hearts for Perilous Times. They're coming. They're here. Lieberman's warning the Jews, get out of Europe, get out of France, get out of Britain. Britain is turning into a Muslim, semi-Muslim nation. Germany's turning into a semi-Muslim nation. Christianity is on the outs everywhere in the so-called Western world, including the United States. Joe Biden has made certain of that. Barack Obama made certain of that. And that's why he was called over and over again the Messiah. This is the battle, friend, that's being waged. It's a spiritual battle. It's not just geopolitical. It has geopolitical ramifications, but the underlying move of it is spiritual. It is the rise of the world against the God of history, against the God who created humankind and sent his only begotten Son to give us hope for the future of salvation. But now humankind says we don't need that. We just need a new world order. We'll govern ourselves, thank you very much. And Joe Biden says, you know what? I'm so convinced that my calling is to help this along that I'm just not going to yield. I'm ruling the world as it is. I'm not going to yield. I'm here to lead the world into this, to lead the Western world in the United States into this new global government. I need 4 more years to do that. So what do you say? Putting a different perspective, a prophetic perspective, on the presidency, on the papacy, and yes, on all of modern history. That's where it's all moving, friends. Get a copy of the book, Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. It's a $22 book, yours for $20. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Get the book, Messiah, same thing, $22. Yours for $20. If you get both of the books, it'll only be $7 for postage and handling. For the 2 books, you'll save $3. Okay, and if you are not part of the Persecution Project, I urge you to become part quickly. Now is the time, if you have not done so already, now's the time to do it. Your gift of $250 to Save America Ministries will put 10 copies of the new book in your hands, which you will then give to those that God puts in your heart, in your mind, to give to spread the message as quickly as possible to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. God bless, be a blessing, and let's place our hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.